The Center for Healthy Churches' recent blog was called The Rearview Mirror. In it, founder Dr. Bill Wilson described a friend who spent all his days looking in the rearview mirror of his life, rehashing the choices he'd made, going over and over his reactions to others' cruelty or insensitivities. These were the thoughts that filled his day, and they made up the energy of his life. His emotional and spiritual focus was spent on the past. What was said and done to him, which gave the past power over his today, crippling him for the present. The wounds of our rearview mirror man's life remained unhealed. Hurtful things said to him, friendships broken, trusts betrayed, angry, he walked through life wounded and bitter. Frederick Buechner, in Wishful Thinking, put it this way: of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun. To lick your wounds, to smack your lips over grievances long past, to roll over your tongue the prospect of bitter confrontations still to come, to savor to the last toothsome morsel both the pain you are given and the pain you are giving back. In many ways, it is a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you are wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. Reminds me of another man in our readings today, Jacob. Grandson of the patriarch Abraham, son of Isaac, brother to twin Esau, he walked through life wounded and bitter. The choices he made, his greedy feelings and selfish thoughts, were the driving forces behind his actions, with the end result of being sent away, exiled from family and place. You see, using guile and a bowl of stew, he tricked his older brother Esau into promising to give up his birthright, a natural privilege in the ancient patriarchal period. Now, a birthright reflected the oldest son becoming the head of the family, having charge over them and the family property, responsible for the welfare of the younger sons, the widow, and any unmarried daughters. The patriarch held considerable authority over his family. And during this patriarchal period, the Lord spoke directly to the head of the family, or the patriarch. And when the oldest son received a blessing, it placed him in a special covenantal relationship with the Lord. The Hebrews considered this blessing given by a father to be very important, even as binding as a written contract. But Jacob will not inherit any of his father's property because he runs away in our reading for today. But he will receive the blessing that was rightfully his brother Esau's, ensuring that Jacob would receive lordship over the nations, even a type of divine protection, so that whoever cursed Jacob would themselves be cursed, and whoever blessed Jacob would in turn be blessed. So when Esau and Jacob are 40 years old, their father Isaac, blind and on his deathbed, asks his oldest son Esau to hunt game for the evening meal, promising afterward that he would give his blessing to Esau. But Rebekah, Isaac's wife, in collusion with her favorite son Jacob, decide to trick the dying man, substituting Jacob for Esau. So in disguise and pumped up on greed, Jacob goes in to see Isaac dressed as his older brother Esau. And since his son had returned from the hunt so quickly, suspicious, his blind father asks Jacob three times if he is indeed Esau. Three times, Jacob lies to his father. Jacob even kisses his father as he receives his brother's blessing. Within moments of this kiss, Esau returns to find that his brother has stolen his blessing. Enraged, he vows to kill his brother. So Jacob, again in collusion with his mother, he goes on the run. Leaving the safety of family and the land of his fathers, he becomes a coward and a fugitive. No place to call his own, no prospects for work, no family at his side. He will not return for 20 years. Fleeing this way leads Jacob into this in-between time, caught between the conflict of his past and a future as yet unknown. He is not, as you may have guessed, a man of faith, and he doesn't look to God for help. So with no particular route or destination in mind, Jacob walks all day, and because evening foot travel can be deadly, he stops for the night. Carrying around his many lies and deceit and greed like a suitcase, fleeing from his brother's wrath with no tent or bedding, he uses a stone as a pillow. Like our rear view mirror man from the beginning of the sermon, there was little room for God in Jacob's life, which is kind of startling to me, really, given Jacob's lineage as the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the grandfather of countless descendants who would be blessed, the one to whom a promised land was to be given. And this place where Jacob stops for the night, it's the same spot in the promised land where Abraham finally stopped to build an altar to the Lord. It's the very same place. It's like the circle of life. So here are these two men, one ancient, one modern, imperfect and deeply flawed, far from forgiveness and living in the past. But does God turn away from them? Will God turn away from us in our imperfection? In the words of Kate Huey, our colorful history and misdeeds matter not one bit when God decides to call, or better, when God comes looking for us, perhaps even pursuing us. No matter where we go, no matter our imperfections, the promise of God's unfailing presence is ours. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. What a comfort. I will not leave you. God meets us where we are, not where we should be. God came to meet Jacob in his dream, renewing the promises God had made to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. In his dream, God promised blessing and place and family to Jacob. And from that day forward, Jacob will be known by the name Israel. Jacob will always be imperfect. He doesn't kind of turn away from his selfish nature. But in that moment, in that night when he is dreaming and God comes to him in that dream, his nature will be changed. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means he who prevails with God. James Newsome, speaking words of connection to us today, says, solitary Jacob, a refugee from his own community, nevertheless becomes its great representative and connection between their long history and the deepest hopes for the future. Jacob, no matter how alone he must have felt, belonged to something greater than himself. The one who contrived to gain an undeserved birthright and blessing is now described as the one through whom the entire human family will be blessed. God forgave Jacob that night, and God's promises were kept. But what about our rearview mirror man? Have you wondered if he will seek out something greater than himself? Will he find forgiveness and blessing? Over many months, in private talks with a pastor and a counselor, and though slow, he could feel some healing taking place. After many such candid and open conversations, he announced a breakthrough. I can finally tell that the objects in the rear view mirror of my life are finally getting smaller. Describing the grace of healing the wounds of the past, Dr. Wilson says, he finally came to the understanding that his fixation on the past empowered those who had wounded him to continue to hurt and influence him moving forward. When he was able to name that truth and lean into the idea that forgiving those who had hurt him was actually the path toward healing his own heart, he began a welcome move away from anger toward peace. He continues, "Forgiveness is the amazing gift God has provided for dealing with hurts in our past that wound us deeply and leave us emotionally and spiritually crippled. For some, those wounds become the source of great gifts of compassion and understanding." How many of you have read the book by Henri Nouwen called The Wounded Healer? Thank you, my brother. Henri Nouwen gave us the indelible image of a wounded healer to describe what happens when we give our pain to God and it is transformed into a source of blessing and hope. And in the words of Barbara Brown Taylor, this is where the dream touches down, reminding us that we sleep at the gate of heaven, where it has pleased God to be with us, where the bright rungs of God's ladder touch down on our own ordinary pieces of the earth. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, may the God of the rear view mirror man, our God, meet us in our imperfections, be our companion and protection on the way to a holy transformation, and may we in turn become a blessing to others. And may all God's people say, Amen.